Hey everybody, this is the Flicks of Church Forgotten. You're about to listen to the audio version of an episode that's also available in video format. How cool is that? So if you want to look at that and see that on YouTube, you can find that at the Flicks of Church Forgot on YouTube. But if you'd rather listen to the audio version, as ever, it's available for you coming now. Thank you. Hello everybody, my name is Peter Laws and this is the Flicks the Church Forgot, the show where I like to explore the deeper and occasionally spiritual themes of spooky, scary horror films. Now follow me on Twitter at RevPeterLaws or check out the website theflicksthechurchforgot.com for access to the back catalogue, as it were. Or read my horror column in the magazine The Fortean Times, which this month, incidentally, includes a piece by me exploring a recent conference I attended, an academic conference on witchcraft. Really, if you read that, you'll find it's a positively spellbinding read. Anyway, speaking of witches, let's take a look at a horror film that's coming to DVD in the UK this month. It's a stylish, bizarre, and sometimes unintentionally hilarious film called Mark of the Witch. Now, this film has a very confusing marketing background, not least in the fact that it's been known by so many different titles. So if you try to research this film on the internet, it really is quite a confusing rabbit warren you'll find yourself in. It was originally titled Another and was screened at various horror film festivals under that title in 2014 and 2015. But here in the UK, it gets its first home video release from Metrodome this month on February the 15th, 2016. Only now it comes under the title Mark of the Witch. I guess the marketing department felt that Another was a way too vague horror promo type title would just get lost in the pile. Or perhaps they wanted to avoid confusion with an animated series also available called Another. Whatever the reason, Metrodome have now called it Mark of the Witch, and they've pitched this as a full-on horror movie. And it is a horror film, without a doubt, but the original title and the original artwork for the film does stay more true to the art house vibe of the film itself. What I'm saying is this is certainly not your average looking or feeling straight to DVD horror film. The confusion carries on because Mark of the Witch is already a film title. In 1970, a film came out called Mark of the Witch, which itself can be confused with Mark of the Devil, which came out earlier that year. Check out my review of Mark of the Devil, by the way, the classic witch hunting exploitation flick at my website, the audio episode that I did on that. So if you search the internet for Mark of the Witch, you're probably going to come across the 1970 version. If you look up Another, you're going to find that such a vague one-word title is going to send search engines into nervous breakdown. Try writing, okay then, another horror film, and that's just a little better. Your best bet then is to maybe type in Another 2014 and you may well find the film that way. To make matters more confusing, the film's sometimes known as The Devil's Daughter as well. Another generic horror movie title, but again, this film is way more art house and left field than both the standard Mark of the Witch and The Devil's Daughter titles seem to suggest. So after wading through all of that sort of marketing shenanigans, let's stick with the new DVD release title for the sake of argument, and we will dive straight into the film itself. Here we go with Mark of the Witch. So the plot to this film isn't exactly complex. It opens with a freaky hooded cult standing in an echoey cave, and they've just dedicated a baby to some sort of demonic deity. And pretty soon we cut to this girl's 18th birthday party when she's finally sort of become an adult and come of age, as it were. And now she's discovering about her heritage that she might actually be the devil's kin. I'm not giving too much away here, by the way. That's all sort of written on the back of the box. Now, if you're thinking that plot device bears a resemblance to The Omen, then full marks, of course. There's a definite sense of that film in the early stages of this one, not least with having a birthday party revealing the devilishness of the character that's seen in both movies. But instead of having a creepy grinning boy child running around, you get this stunning and ethereal looking actress, Anna Paul Redding, who stumbles through a world of confusion and increasing dread at who she might be. And so it's on this very slight framework that director Jason Bognacki starts to build his story. And this is where Mark of the Witch takes a very clear diversion away from films like The Omen. You see, The Omen... The Omen fires straight into a story-driven theological discussion of the Bible and the Antichrist within a context of a tightly plotted political thriller. Mark of the Witch has no intention on rushing down the strict plot path. Instead, this is an extended exercise in visual style. The Omen played out like a high-octane thriller. Mark of the Witch, by contrast, feels more like an 80-minute dream sequence. So to say that the film is more style over substance is true, but that's only a negative if you aren't into style. If you do find art and imagery a powerful way of connecting with fear, then I think you'll find much to love here. We see Jordan wandering around wide-eyed, seeing relentless sights of strange things and disturbing images, including moments that are so surreal and haunting. It's like when you're watching it, you're having some sort of fever dream. Just don't expect it to make a great deal of solid sense, maybe in the same way as The Omen does. Now, by the way, The Omen is a pretty wacky storyline in many ways, but that's a film that insists on having an internal logic. Mark of the Witch isn't so constricted in that way. It's not a surprise, then, to find that the film is being likened to the style of Dario Argento, particularly with his work with the film Suspiria. Argento is a director who will crank up style over logical substance with an almost cavalier sense of Italian abandon. It's like, wait, whatever. However, despite some strong reviews and a string of awards, Suspiria this ain't. You see, Suspiria, which is my personal favourite of the Argento films, keeps its sense of stylized fear constant throughout. It's beautiful and it's intense, but crucially, it's quite scary. But importantly, you never find yourself laughing out loud at Suspiria. Mark of the Witch, however, is certainly intense and stylized and at times really quite beautiful, but it adds one element that Suspiria doesn't. At times, you snort into your fist, laughing. Now, the main moments you'll find this is in the fight sequences. There are fight sequences, yeah, with instead of having two women punching and kicking one another, this is a full-on witch against warrior type stuff. And the director does a couple of things to demonstrate that these are epic battles, metaphysical clashes. So, and the things he chooses, I guess, make me chuckle. Firstly, he makes the battles, a lot of them, happen in slow motion. So you get actresses like Nancy Wolfe and Maria Olsen gurning and wailing into the camera at slow speed with slow groans and screams like, no! Secondly, the fight sequences have CGI fire effects in them, which look a little bit low rent. And for a film of normally such artistic precision, these schlock melodramatic acting moments with slow motion blasts of iPad app fire levels of effects were as jarring as they were confusing. Now, I've got no idea if these sequences were supposed to be amusing. If they were, then I've got to say hats off to the filmmakers for having such a wild sense of freedom with the tone of this film. But if it's not intentional, and I rather suspect it wasn't, it's a little bit confusing. Because really, the other parts of the film feel very accomplished and unnerving, with photography that is well deserving of its awards. The way the film opens, for example, feels pretty special. It's got this like Stanley Kubrick vibe of a rocky landscape being shot with like locked into the tripod sturdiness. You half expect a gorilla to come bounding over and throw a bone in the sky. But as the film starts to progress, you start to get the Dario Argento flavor coming through. There's lots of slow zooms, including a slow zoom on a crow, which felt the most Argento moment in the whole film to me. Plus, there's plenty of colorful lighting and moving in and out of focus. And Bognacki does something that Argento does in Suspiria, which I really liked, which is to do with the witches' voices. I always found the voices of Suspiria, which is terrifying, and I've spoken about this before in this podcast, this show, particularly the moment at the end when the corpse of Suspiria, when the corpse of the girl that's been killed from falling into a room of razor wire, remember that? Charming. She comes out of a closet holding a knife while the witch is calling out to Susie Banyan something like, "Death comes now!" And the voice feels so over the top and scary, like an old woman putting on a frightening voice for a kid. It's like the result is really horrible. And I don't know if it's a result of the English dubbing or what, but it scared me then and it scares me now. To quote the first line of Legend of Boggy Creek, I felt like Bognacki did something similar here in Mark of the Witch, in that sometimes when you hear a witch's voice, it's got that "I'm trying to be scary" voice, which actually ends up being quite scary in a way. So I thought that stuff was cool, the melodrama of that bit. those stuff. Plus, the director employs some effects which I really liked. For example, Jordan might be talking to another character and the images of the person seem to shudder and tremble. It's like a camera effect. It's not them doing it physically, as if their whole view of the world is unstable, or her view is. Also, we see TVs in this world struggling for signal, like she's living in an analog world rather than a digital one. I like these little touches, and I think it adds to the sense of paranoia that maybe this woman is just insane and imagining all of the occult drama around her. So the film, Mark of the Witch, certainly has its creepy moments and images that will get under your skin. I guess you just have to prepare yourself for occasional breaks of chuckling. Whenever, basically, Nancy Wolf comes on screen and starts shooting fire out of her hands in slow motion. That sort of stuff. She was famous, by the way. She was in the TV movie Helter Skelter. Bit of trivia there. Speaking thematically, what's interesting about Mark of the Witch is how keen it is to explore the concept of spiritual warfare. Walk in certain Christian circles and you'll find some believers who love to talk in these terms, that really life is about a massive battle between good and evil going on in the heavenly realms, as they say, and that the prayers of the faithful will help fuel and succeed these extreme sort of spiritual conflicts. And this idea of spiritual warfare was at the heart of what might be called the most popular Christian horror series of books, which is a series of novels from Frank Peretti called Piercing the Darkness and This Present Darkness. I reckon Mark of the Witch has that vibe of spiritual battle, with Nancy Wolf as Jordan's aunt sitting in her nightie doing spiritual butt-kicking with Maria Olsen, which is fine, but like I said, they up the drama of it all so that the battles are presented more like a sort of slow-mo kung fu witchcraft battle. Which is sometimes at odds with the more insidious, unsettling imagery in the rest of the film. So, the film's all about visuals, and so therefore a key component is the people that you look at a lot, and particularly Anna Paul Redding, who's the lead actress, who obviously gets a lot of screen time since she's the main actress in it. Now, I've read a few reviews who said her acting isn't that good in this. I thought she did fine. She looks good at being terrified and maladjusted, but what is really key about her is how striking she looks visually. Now, I wouldn't want to, for a second, like, boil down a female actress just to her looks. In the same way, I wouldn't do that for a male actress either. But for a film that is so passionate about imagery, her face and eyes are a really important part of the mission statement and the vibe of this movie. Sadly, you know, whenever someone has striking eyes and black hair like a woman, they tend to get lumped in with looking like Audrey Hepburn, as if there was only one woman in history who was allowed to have dark hair, dark eyes and elfin-like features. But Redding is absolutely her own image, and she feels as much a part of the artist's palette here as the lighting and the slow zooms. And her piercing stare, which speaks both of loneliness and fear, and then the growing potential of evil, I think is a vital element to the visual language of the film. And she just looks amazing and striking on the posters as well. I think she's a real asset. So having said all that, is the film worth checking out? Well, yes and no. If you think you want a film that's plot-driven and easy to understand and fairly conventional, you may want to move along, because you might just get frustrated. But if you like the thought of being thrown into an Argento-esque parade of sumptuous visuals, then it just might be worth your while. Since the film is more the latter, I can't help but think it may have worked better marketing-wise if they'd stuck to the original title, Another, and kept the arthouse vibe. It might be slightly pretentious, I guess, but it would have let viewers know what they were letting themselves in for. However, having said that, movie making is a business and companies want to shift units. So I have absolutely no doubt that the current artwork and the title will probably, technically speaking, get the film into more people's hands. The only problem is with that is that casual horror viewers who grab this from the supermarket shelf might be expecting a straightforward scare fest, and so may end up baffled at what is basically, this isn't like another Conjuring or whatever, like a common and popular type film. This is a visual tone poem, and they might be unhappy with that. While those who would have appreciated this arty approach all along might skip over this title altogether because they'll assume it's just another straight-to-DVD low-rent shocker. And I guess my fear for the film is that it ends up falling somewhere in between. Despite my reservations about certain elements of the film, I do think the visual style of this film is impressive, and it deserves to find an audience who would appreciate that. I did appreciate that, I think, when I was watching it, even though I had some misgivings about some of the tonal shifts in the film. By the way, the film's really influenced by a few others, like Drag Me to Hell and The Omen and Rosemary's Baby a little bit. And again, though, I think Argento's Suspiria and maybe also his film Inferno, which I also reviewed in an old audio episode, is definitely felt here. For me, though, all of those films I've just mentioned are superior to Mark of the Witch. But if you're wanting a change of pace in your horror and you'd like an experience of taking LSD without the risk of chemical confusion afterwards, you may well find, actually, that Mark of the Witch might just leave its mark on you after all. Oh, and there's a post-credit sequence, by the way, before I forget, which is worth sticking around for. It's not like it opens up the logic of the film much more, but, you know, you paid your money. You might as well see every minute. Well, look, that's it for the Flicks the Church Forgot. Thanks for listening. Please do share and subscribe my YouTube channel, and also follow me on Twitter at RevPeterLaws, at FlicksTheChurchForgot.com, etc., etc. And could you try, if you're up for it, spreading the word and try and get more and more people to get on board, because that would be cool. And again, you can read my horror column in the Fortune Times magazine. But until next time, don't forget the Flicks the Church Forgot.